Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. Today, I'm joined by Sarah Smalley. Good morning, Sarah. Or afternoon.
Hello.
Hi. Sarah is a former army officer turned career coach. So on the surface, quite a dramatic change in career, which I'm sure we all shall come to in due course. So maybe the first question is, on that basis, why? Why the change?
Wow. Going straight in with a super philosophical question. Why the change? So I think it's probably slightly more complex than, you know, army officer straight to career coach. The bit that happened in between was as a result of being the support act, if you like, to my husband's military career. Having done 6 years myself, we then moved as a result of his career. And, you know, along the way, intertwined with having a family, I did a myriad of roles, kind of linked to the postings that we had, and sort of my career was, like, I felt at the time, the kind of second string. What I was able to do with moving was to gather such a range of experience from, you know, working to the governor in Bermuda, and trying out teaching in a forces school in Germany. And that, so I had an opportunity to try lots of different things, but it never felt like it was a and that I was building anything. And I sort of had a fairly negative filter on all of that. But when we stopped moving and I had a moment to sort of catch my breath and think, what do I want next? We had the stability that I could start looking again at my my career. I worked with a coach and found that experience so incredible and empowering when I was able to look at what was important to me, what my skills were, all the different skill sets and experience that I'd gathered across, I guess, 20 years of professional experience and how I wanted to use those skills. Actually, it was about supporting individuals with their career development, seeing people grow, enabling people to have the sort of clarity with their career that I'd been able to discover through coaching. So that's the sort of roundabout way how I went from army officer to career coach.
But it's a very important question that you raise, or a very important question that so many people we come across ask themselves, is what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I want to do? Because quite often, especially as working parents, working mums, we spend a proportion of our lives post-career, mid-career, looking after kids and putting everyone else's needs first, which is absolutely fine, and that's, you know, that's part of the role of being a parent, obviously. But then when you do have that space to stop and think, hold on, I've been sort of going around the houses for however many years, but actually, what do I really want?
Yeah, and there was a really I caught a really interesting podcast yesterday, a Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO. I'm trying to remember who he was interviewing, but they said, you know, in the list of priorities, it goes, you know, spouse, children, pets, and then self. Like, we're just the worst at prioritizing ourselves. And as you will know, the sort of clients I work with, when they've decided that actually this, I need to give myself this focus, and if I'm going to work out the answer to these questions, I need to invest time, focus, and inevitably money to really work out the answers. Otherwise, I'm going to likely keep going around in circles and not move off in any particular direction.
Yeah, and it has to be about commitment.
Yeah.
So to any kind of change, not just career change, but any change in our lives, being committed to that change and shifting our focus into that. I think is the only way to truly succeed at that change.
Yeah.
Because if you're still distracted, or still, if your feet, I suppose, are 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the future, you're never going to move forward because your legs will be in a really weird V shape and you won't be able to walk. In my head thinking I've got 1 foot and 1 foot and I wouldn't be able to walk very fast like that. So it's about 1 foot and finding the other.
A couple of the analogies that come up quite often with clients are around, you know, having this knitting, like a bundle of knitting in their heads, or another client recently referred to the scrambled egg that I'd been able to help them unscramble.
And
like you say, unless we've got that commitment and the motivation to work on it, then I mean, ultimately, it's probably not going to change.
And were you able to hold yourself accountable for that change, or did you have to find accountability?
Well, yeah, I worked with a coach because I was going round and round in circles. And I think because of the range of experiences and skill set that I sort of established along the way, where do I go with this? Like, I'm sort of jack of all and master of none. There's got to be something. And of course, there was loads of really transferable experience. But when you're looking at it from a position of disempowerment, I guess, where you don't really know where to start, you tend to naturally put quite a negative filter over the top of it. But when, with the support of a coach, you can start to think more objectively, take out some of the emotion, it's great for untangling your thoughts, being a bit more, having more clarity as to what you want from the scenario, working out what you want, and then working out how you're going to get there and what skills you might need along the way.
Mm. And were your kids, I think, are 13 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they feature in the army and the moving around in your husband's career? Where do they pop up from?
Yeah. Well, one popped up in Brecon, the other one popped up in Cheltenham. So in all of this, they were absolutely the priority, which is why for probably the best part of 10 years, my career played second fiddle. And at the time that I was content for that to be the case, the priority was providing stability for them with regular changes of school, regular moves, changes of friendship groups, moving countries. So until, I guess until about, 3 years we've been in our own home. And that was really the turning point to not having to worry about moving again. And I guess our circumstances providing the stability that I felt previously that I'd provided. I think, you know, one of the takeaways from observing how they've coped with changes and transition is we totally underestimate how resilient they are.
Yeah.
Often more resilient than we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, for example, who's been in this school 3 years, but that was her fifth school by the age of 10. So, yeah, they're incredible. And we could probably learn a lot from children that go through those sort of changes.
Yeah, I think actually children, any changes. I mean, when my daughter went, I mean, she's had a very stable home life. She's been in her house for 10 years, you know, what kind of thing. But when she went from primary to secondary, huge, huge change.
Yeah.
We then moved my youngest daughter at the same time because it made sense to move her to the same area, school. So big changes. And they just, I was panicking, you know, emotional, etc. And they just got on with it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah, I think. I guess the danger is that we sort of project our own past experiences anticipated thoughts and feelings on them, but often they cope with it so much better than we would.
Yeah, you're right. So it's the transference of our emotions onto them.
Exactly.
They don't need, frankly.
No.
Sort of, I suppose maybe it's giving them the credit and the respect and the trust that they will deal with it in their own way.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because the way they will deal with things is very different to how we would previously or still would deal with things. And it's understand they are individual people with ways that they're going to get through life and make their own way.
Yeah, kind of holding that container, if you like. That's the sort of image that's in my mind. So they feel supported, but letting them react and respond in their own way.
Yeah, yeah. And then do you think, obviously they moved a lot and they're now sort of settled. Do you think that I suppose, building that resilience as they've grown is going to, how do you think that's going to serve them as they grow older and start a career in that.
Well, they're ready to move again. they tell me often they're ready to move. I think certainly for my eldest, for my daughter, there's this deep sort of idea of traveling and seeing the world, and which I love to see. That's great. That idea of sort of exploration. Yeah. I'm yet to see how that manifests for my son. I think he's just really enjoying the stability and being able to build friendships.
So how do you think then we can, so if we haven't, I guess if our kids haven't had that kind of upbringing, and maybe they're in the same place, etc., how can we instill that sense of curiosity and exploration into not just children, maybe into people?
Great question.
We get a bit sort of stagnant.
Yeah. Oh, that's, I've never even thought about that. I guess because I'm always trying to provide the stability. Well, I think you know, the word you use there, which is really appropriate, is curiosity. Mm. I guess coming at life with an idea of curiosity and always wanting to find out more. I'm sort of naturally interested in other cultures and countries and foods and traditions. Maybe it's sharing those observations, sparking an interest. And observing if it piques an interest in them, and maybe encouraging if that looks like something that they want to do. But again, you know, as I guess sort of noticing the difference in my two, one is naturally more curious and more adventurous, and the other one, certainly at this stage, if that's not for them, then that's not for them.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. So we can't necessarily force these traits onto people.
No, but sowing a seed, I think that's important.
Yeah. Then if you go back to your army days and the transferable skills you talk about, and I think probably quite relevant for not just, I don't know how many sort of service people listen to this podcast, but even if you're not in the, you know, in the forces or any kind, but you're in a structured job, a corporate job, you know, rules, regulations and discipline, I suppose, which I imagine, I could be ignorant, the army has that in spades. What do you think you've learnt, and maybe more even as a mother, but what do you think you've learnt from those years that is now, with your more stable environment, going to kind of serve you well?
I think the framework and the structure of the military, as you sort of suggested, brings with it a kind of inherent sense of discipline and routine, but ultimately the military is all about people. There's all a massive focus on looking after your people, your team, your troop, your platoon, your company, their welfare, their development, professional, personal, is as a leader or as a manager, that is at the center of everything you do. And I think from that stems my interest through coaching in seeing people develop, seeing them grow, seeing them achieve the goals that they set themselves for. So that was certainly one of the most natural transferable skills that I felt. Yeah, you want to see people do well. You want to see them thriving, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think that happens as much from more recent experience in the more corporate world, where from my experience, the welfare of employees is not always top of the agenda? There's quite a lot of lip service, but actually the genuine support for, especially for parents, isn't there? Do you think that is different between the military?
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose in the military, that kind of interest and that focus is good and bad, because sometimes you can feel, you know, that you don't necessarily have the space. But as you say, you know, comparative to a big organization outside that's not linked to the military, maybe there isn't such, it's easy to generalize, isn't it? Perhaps there isn't such quite focused interest in your personal welfare. Although obviously COVID has put a different slant on that and brought it into people's focus.
Yeah.
Whereas previously, perhaps there was more of a divide between the professional welfare, if you like, and the personal welfare. What happened at home stayed at home. Whereas in the military, there can often be blurred lines.
Then interestingly, a few months ago, I was asked to be on a research panel, kind of focus group, as a careers advisor, it's called, for the armed forces who are looking into trying to change a perception for young people to go into the forces.
Okay.
Or for people who wanted more flexibility, or for people who, you know, all these sort of things that everyone's looking for, who perceived the army, etc., to maybe not have that available to them. And it was really interesting just talking to people, because I think it opened my eyes a lot, actually, to the breadth of roles, obviously, within the forces. It's not just all soldiers. I mean, it's a stupid thing to say, but it's, you know, it's not just on the ground, it's a boots on the ground, whatever the term is. There's a wealth of careers within the armed forces. You know, I think probably everything you can imagine exists within the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
So what would your view be on, especially as our kids grow into their careers and sort of these options start becoming open to them? It's probably not something that's talked about as much as the obvious jobs to go into. So if your kids turned around to you and said that they were thinking about a career in the military, what would you be saying?
Well, one of them has already said that. and we'll wait and see how it pans out. And then the other one had a recent sort of cadets experience day at school, and whereas my husband and I thought, oh, let's see how this goes, absolutely loved it. And so then we were there thinking, my goodness, what if they both go into the army? Of course, for him, he's like, well, as long as there aren't any wars for the next 20 years, you can go in.
I'm quite hard to predict.
Your mum was saying that when you joined up. I think, as you say, there's such a breadth of opportunities, and pretty much, and I think this was a marketing campaign at some point, pretty much any job that you see outside of, you know, driver, baker, postman, you can do in the military. I think it's horses for courses. Yeah. It's not for everybody. Yeah. But I certainly, you know, really enjoyed the foundation leadership and management course that you get through a year at Sandhurst. You know, they will say it's unrivaled. It was a fantastic experience. And it can be a really, really good foundation for lots of careers.
Yeah, and I think it's just raising the awareness, isn't it, and giving people the options. Yeah. I say horse of the courses. I just want to take you back to your coaching a second. We spoke about something before we started recording that I've realised actually my sort of working mum hat on actually really resonated when you said that the clients that you like to work with are those people who find themselves maybe in a meeting. They are trying to make themselves heard. They have ideas. Mm. They have, you know, whatever's going on that they want to express. They then find themselves thinking, oh, hold on, I just said that, but they haven't listened to me. They're now listening to so-and-so who said exactly the same thing. And that I had that a lot when I was working in the corporate world. And it's definitely after becoming a mum, where I felt I wasn't being heard. And I had plenty to say and plenty to share. But in these big meetings, I just felt like I was being kind of squashed down, unintentionally, perhaps. So what do you think, in your experience with these kind of clients, and more with the kind of working mums or working dads who've come back from leave and are feeling like they're lacking that confidence because they've been out of the game for a little while. I suppose, what would be the first step to start getting that confidence back and believing that you have got value?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, from client to client, it's trying to determine what they want ultimately from perhaps from the immediate situation that they're in or longer term from their career. And ultimately working out a way for them to achieve that, but sort of coming back to where a potential start point is looking at their strengths, at areas for development, and working through scenarios that see them using their strengths and building up confidence, challenging any things they might be telling themselves about why they can or can't do something in a particular meeting or in a particular as part of a project, and really, I guess, picking that apart. And in a coaching scenario where people feel supported, you can challenge that gently, and perhaps encourage them to see it from the other angle, sort of strengthening that confidence muscle to step. Once they're kind of secure in who they are and what they do, then they're better placed to start sort of pushing and challenging themselves to reach this ultimate goal for their career.
Mm. I think you're right, it is a muscle. Mm. I think it needs to be flexed. You need practice, you need to keep going with it. You need that, again, yeah, coming back to the word commitment. But yeah, to commit to building that confidence back. Mm. I suppose not sitting back and hoping that it's all going to come to you.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah. And I think there's what you can do yourself, but also identifying if there's something in your surroundings or, you know, with your employer that also needs addressing, needs a separate conversation. Mm. If there's something, I don't know, structural within the organisation that is also presenting a challenge that maybe doesn't sit with the individual, but requires a conversation, needs to be challenged.
Yeah, yeah. And do you think, I suppose, again, in your experience with these kind of clients, do you think people are confident enough, because the first step, confident enough to say they actually need help and they need support?
Perhaps not in the first instance, no. But through coaching, getting them to a point where they're confident enough to ask for support if that's what they need.
Yeah. And you said to me earlier, actually, that you've got proven data, which is something I think, again, with coaching, people find quite hard to measure potentially. But you have data on clients who have, well, either left their jobs, got better jobs, changed jobs within the organisation, but who are getting paid more as a result of being more focused on what they want, on what they're kind of, you know, what they want to achieve. And the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Absolutely.
So being able to show that sort of tangible benefits of it, it's just, well, that's, yeah, proof is the pudding. That's where it is. That's what people should be looking at, is that there is proof that you can make real change if you commit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think as coaches, that's being able to prove the real value of coaching can sometimes be a bit of a sticking point. But, you know, being able to take a cross section of clients and demonstrate through your marketing that, you know, this number of clients took up coaching with a view to getting a new role, getting a promotion, doing something different. And this is the percentage you are now earning more. Like, you can really see the direct impact of that investment in time and money.
I hope that translates through to more people, not just looking into it, but I think more organisations looking into it for people. I think it's all very well individuals seeking coaching or any kind of support. Mm-hmm. But actually, if we can shift thinking a bit where employers want to support. And again, going back to your kind of army example of actually putting people's personal welfare at the heart of what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if supporting them and developing them means giving them opportunities for coaching or for training or for whatever it is, but making that more of a, again, not just a tick box exercise on an end of your objectives list, but something actually really kind of
more readily available.
Yeah. And bespoke, you know, it's for this person needs this individual support. Mm-hmm. We're going to help them rather than everyone's going to get this mandatory training we used to have. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Training,
which may be relevant, maybe not be, but it doesn't matter because we've ticked a box, everyone's got to do this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's that individual approach, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I sense it is becoming more available. I've started working with a client who has introduced a maternity coaching package, and that's great to see, you know, helping more maternity and paternity, but helping parents navigate those first couple of years of, I guess, raising a family, balancing alongside their professional careers. How long has that been a thing?
Yeah.
But I guess we're completely biased, aren't we? We see the benefit, but convincing organisations of the link between, say, coaching and retention or coaching and recruitment and...
But I think we could also see the proof because we've changed career as well. So we've we've both been through coaching with a career sort of transition agenda, if you like, maybe, yeah, maybe not initially, but as a result in successful career change. Mm. So we've been through it. We've sort of lived it, I guess, haven't we?
Yeah,
we've absolutely walked the walk, and it's worked, yeah, for us. So, mm-hmm, which again is the only way quite often to prove the point is that we've, you know, we've been there, we understand, we've done it, and this can work for you. So it's that evidence, isn't it? It all comes back to evidence-based things to kind of give some proof that these things do work in the end.
Absolutely.
And then that's been my sort of final question would be, as again, back to the kids a bit, as they get older and they have, you know, whatever career path they take and however much travel they end up doing, etc., what do you think when they look back at their years of moving around and seeing you go from changing career quite dramatically to something which now is much more stable, how do you think they'll look back and view all this?
Wow, something I've not considered. I guess it's hard to look into the future. I would hope that I have perhaps set an example in terms of what I believe is important in being around for the early years, or being around as much as you can in those early years. But as I sort of reestablish my professional career as it goes up a couple of years, if you like, I hope also that I'm setting an example that you can, you know, there is a way eventually, if that's what you want, to balance the two, and you can have you can develop your career alongside having a family.
Yeah, which is the whole purpose of this podcast. So that was a very apt final sentence.
You can absolutely, like, we practiced it.
But you didn't.
No.
But it's just so true. It's so true. I feel that's the role modelling we're all trying to do, isn't it? Just,
yeah,
just show our kids that we can, not necessarily can't have it all, but you can have a pretty good balance.
Yeah.
You can do what you want to do and still have a happy, successful, yeah, family life too.
Yeah, that I think is about defining what balance looks like for you, and being able to, you know, work out a solution that aligns with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you. Great to chat.
Yeah, you too. And what's the best, if anyone wants to find out more about you and I guess your coaching, sure, etc., where's the best place to find you?
So the best place is LinkedIn, ultimately. Sarah Smalley, no H. But I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, Sarah Smalley Coaching and Consultancy.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. Enjoy the sunshine.
Yeah, it's glorious, isn't
it? It's glorious. It's glorious. Long may it last. And I'll speak to you very soon. Thanks, Sarah.
Great. Thank you. Bye. Bye.
You can find out how to work with me at aishamurray.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamurray.com/resources.